Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I've been a little bit absent this month. I kind of wanted to take a break, so I haven't done a lot of shows, but I've got some really great ones coming up. Today, my special guest is Chad Meek. This is Chad's second visit to A Fine Time for Healing. The topic he'll be discussing today is very different than the topic of the first show he did with me. When Chad was here in June, he shared with us the greatest UFO story ever told, and he talked about his upcoming feature film, Giant Rock, the movie. Today, Chad is here to tell us about astrology, one of his great passions. Astrology is far more than our sun signs, like Aquarius, Taurus, Virgo, etc., and what astrology tells us about our life through our birth or natal charts is much more detailed than the horoscopes some of us might read each day. But since that is about the extent of my knowledge on this topic, I brought in an expert to elaborate. I'd like to introduce my guest, Chad Meek, to you, but first, let me take a minute to give you a brief overview of his many accomplishments. Chad Meek is a professional author, astrologer, intuitive, president and CEO of Clarity Resources, Inc., as well as the writer, director, and executive producer of Giant Rock, the movie. Now let's welcome Chad to the show. Chad, you cut it a little close. How are you? Wait, let me open up your mic.
Okay.
Hi, Chad.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You cut it a little close today.
I'm so sorry. You know what? The last time I was on the show, I actually, because I screwed up the time difference, I'm on the Pacific Coast, and
right.
I was actually talking to you in front of my vet on a cell phone. So anyway, this one, we're Mercury retrograde, and I noticed, was she supposed to call me, or was, and so I went to the email, and I said, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to call her. So I caught it at the very end, and I apologize for cutting it too close, but anyways, we're here, okay?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I just read about Mercury retrograde. It's between January 21st and February 11th. What is it?
Yeah, Mercury retrograde, which actually in the planetary rulership world rules communication. It rules things like transportation. It rules screw-ups on meetings and times.
Okay.
it really does. What happens is, and usually what happens during this time period, the planet Mercury, it changes. It doesn't go retrograde, so to speak. It just changes motion. It slows down. So during these time periods, we traditionally catch up with people that we haven't talked to in a while, like me, or friends. Friends out of the woodwork come out and say, oh, wow, you haven't seen, oh, hi, how are you? Anyways, these are the times to catch up.
Cool. So tell us, okay, so astrology, Is it metaphysics? Is it an exact science? Or is it something that's open to interpretation?
You know what? You know, it's funny. The debate goes on. It's the oldest. It's actually the oldest science. And really, if you look at it from its core place, it is an observational science. And really, what it is, and in fact, that's really what scientists do. They say, okay, well, you know, one plus one equals two, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, what astrology have been doing for thousands of years, literally 10,000s of years, have been saying, okay, the star measurements of this planet and that planet, this generally happens based on probabilities. So when this aspect happens, I will go run and tell the king about, you know, a potential coup or something like that. That's how it was used in the past. So, you know, I mean, we get in this long debate. There's actually some people, there's a PhD who wrote a nice paper that in fact, astrology was science. In fact, it's the closest link to quantum physics that we know, which brings me to an interesting thing because, you know, I study all different sides of astrology. I go, you know, the ancient Vedic. I study Chinese. I study Vietnamese, Mayan. And there, you know, and it, as it goes back years and years and years and years, specifically the Vedics, they actually knew the distances from the planets literally 12,000 years ago. They actually knew that. And since then, right now, all the computer modeling that's coming up right now is actually correlating their initial calculations. So, you know, regardless of science, pseudoscience, you know, whatever, you know, it's something. It's a very elegant tool to use in your daily life to help you, you know, get a broader understanding of what's going on. And this ranges from the mundane all the way to, you know, career choices, to relationship choices and things like that. They're an additional tool to give you some insight to your world.
So tell us about how you would go about reading a birth or natal chart of someone.
You know, what I would do is, you know, just get some real basic information, okay? What I do, and what it, by tradition, is you take the first cry. When an infant, the beginning of life with what I do is when the first cry, when the baby first cries. So you mark that day and take a photograph, a snapshot of all the various planets out in the, you know, out in the universe, and that's the natal chart. Okay, that's what natal astrology is. So you take a snapshot, and that's where you begin. And so at that time, of course, there is a day, an hour, a minute, a second, and a place. Okay, and so from that point on, you move it forward, you look at the various things, how it affects an individual, and that's the very, very core essence of the beginning of someone's astrological chart, and that's what I do. I don't necessarily need a lot of other information other than that. I mean, it's always helpful to know, to get to know my clients, and it's, you know, and it just saves time, but in reality, I can tell if somebody's married. I can pretty much tell what they are doing for a living based on this. And there's been studies done. The Gocklins, who were psychologists in France, they did, you know, tremendous, lots and lots and lots of studies, et cetera, on this. And they could actually come up with a statistical deviation above the mean as far as based on your natal chart, whether you would be a writer, whether you'd be an athlete, whether you'd be a businessman. They could actually tell what areas you'd be in. So that study was done in the 50s and 60s by two French psychologists. So it's a useful tool, I guess, to sum it up.
Most of us know about the zodiac, and we know what sign are you, and people pick up and read their horoscopes. What is different about a full, you know, a chart that you would do, a natal chart that you would do, that's different than people just knowing their sign and,
yeah,
you know, reading a horoscope?
Yeah, actually what I do You know, as far as, and what's different is a sun sign's a great start. In fact, you know what? Most everyone knows, everyone in the world knows what their sun sign is. It's an amazing thing that people actually, you know, they know what part of the zodiac that they're born on. I mean, it's something that's kind of indoctrinated. But what I do is I go a step forward, which your sun pretty dominates your ego, and so I can tell a lot. Like, say, for instance, somebody's a Taurus, you know, I can tell certain attributes as far as that they would by tradition have. Okay, like for instance, they would be a more stable, a little bit on the stubborn side. You know, some of those attributes. But then I go one step further. I look at their moon, which is their emotional reaction. You know, as far as that, which, you know, the moon is very, very important. In fact, in the Vedic astrology, it's more important than the sun sign. So how you emotionally react to something would be your moon sign. And, of course, that changes every 2.5 days. Then you go one step further.
Wait, what did you say? That changes every 2.5 days?
Yeah, 2.5 days. Everyone's moon sign changes every 2.5 days. So then you would go to Mercury, okay, the planet Mercury, and you'd say, okay, well, how does this person think? How does this person intellectualize things? How does this person communicate? How does this person process things? And then I would move over to Venus, okay? And I'd say, okay, what does this person love? How does this person love? Okay? And then, you know, again, you know, then you move on. Then you go look at the Mars, okay, which is a planet of energy, and say, okay, well, how does this person express their Mars energy? Is this person aggressive? Is this person more passive aggressive, et cetera, et cetera? And you know, then you get into, you know, very, and what you do is you systematically move through all of these different planets, and you see how they work, how the energy works with each other, with each other a planet, and then you get a composite picture, kind of like a dot-to-dot number puzzle. You know, you'll go right here, and then all of a sudden, that picture of that person will appear, and you'll see it on an organic basis. Yeah.
Right. So how do the planets relate to the moon? Because you were saying the moon gives us the emotional reaction, and then you started talking about planets. So the position of the planets is dependent on the moon?
Right. Well, here's an example. Okay, let's take an example of a typical aspect. Now, also, too, this is both science and art. But say, for instance, you had a very difficult or hard hard aspect between your Mars and your moon. Okay, so how you're expressing your moon, which would be your emotional side, and your anger side. So, again, it would color it a little bit further on as far as, if say, for instance, you had Mars in a angry planet or a more aggressive planet like Aries, okay? Say, for instance, right there, that means that person would be fairly aggressive, very straightforward, and then mixed in, say, for instance, either with another fire sign, which would make a lot of that energy flow pretty easily, okay? Or, in fact, it may create a square or a difficult aspect to maybe a water sign in Cancer, which would mean that the person would be very angry and, I guess, then get emotionally upset, and then you have a tendency to cry a lot. These are just some basic things that I look at as far as that. And, again, it's all composite. You're looking at how the energies between the planets are flowing together, and then what you do is you plot it. You plot it, and you look at this thing here. So, and it's really a valuable tool for a lot of various reasons. Especially if what I am doing is with my clients is I make sure that if they're going to start a new venture or if something's going to occur, that I want to give them the most optimum time period to do that with the transits going around their natal chart. So, and transits are where, you know, the planets obviously move, they're cyclic, et cetera, as an example, Uranus has an 84-year cycle, Jupiter has a 12-year cycle, so on. And then what happens is if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to start a new business, I do a thing called electoral astrology, and they say, I want to start a new business, what would be the best time to get that natal snapshot to begin, to start the venture that would give me the best wind in my sails? And so that's what I would do. I would take that person's natal chart, and I would look at all these different factors, and I'd figure out the best way to navigate or to send that, launch that ship for that individual.
That's really interesting. I've also heard about houses and angles. What is that? Is that just another name for something you've described?
Yeah, by tradition, yeah, there are 12 houses. In fact, many of these things overlap. There are 12 houses, and they're symbolic, and they represent various. They call them houses, or really what it is heavens. They say houses, but they mean part of the heaven. Okay, so say for instance, I have a Scorpio ascendant. Okay, on the first house. Now, the first house represents who I am and how people perceive me. Okay, so that would be the first house. And then the second house would be my money and possessions. The third house would be how I communicate. Fourth house would be the core essence of me. It's right at the bottom. Can represent also my mother. The fifth house represents speculation and gambling. The sixth house represents the work that I do. The seventh house represents the other you, your spouse, your partners, and how that affects you. Eighth house is joint resources. Ninth house is philosophy and travel. Tenth house is the MC or the at the very top of your chart. That represents your career. Sometimes it represents the father. Eleventh house represents your friends. And the 12th house, which is the final house, represents some of your hidden, most sacred, subconscious, deepest thoughts. So you wheel it around, and so what you do is you place planets in the houses, and that gives you an additional layer of meaning as far as for what that is and what that will do. Now, also, too, most all psychology, its origin, Jungian psychology, emanates, and they're actually astrologers. Most of modern-day psychology roots is in astrology. A lot of people don't realize that when they're and some of the better psychologists that I've ever been around have actually been astrologers. So that seems, in fact, they kind of interrelate quite a bit. So, yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. And what about angles? What are they?
Well, angles are in fact, again, they're aspects between the planets, and again, I mentioned a square, which incidentally, most people say, oh, my husband, I'm a Cancer, and my husband's an Aries, and we have conflict, et cetera, and it's not, I want to get an easier aspect, and I say, hey, wait a minute, first of all these aspects or angles between various planets and people and things like that, everything can be adjusted. And it really comes, once you're aware of it, you can actually see the other person's point of view. And so it would be a lot easier to deal with the various energies. So there, when people say, hey, I'm this, would this be good for me? First of all, I wouldn't know unless I had everyone's complete composite charts, and then I've actually seen where marriages that don't have a lot of squares, they dissipate. They don't work. Eventually, get in. That's right. The most favorable aspects, there's nothing foundational. And squares, squares are foundational. There's also oppositions. There's conjunctions, and a conjunction is essentially a planet that's on top of another planet. And of course, that can be either good or bad. Some people, if say, for instance, you and I had the same sun sign to the exact degree, we may like it, as far as that, but eventually we may feel like we're kind of smothering each other, and we're not recognizing the difference between you and I. So that would be initially it'd be good, but eventually it wouldn't be not so good. So when people ask me, is this? I just simply said, I don't know, but I know this, that I know that any combination can work as long as there's awareness and that, of the other person. Most people's problems comes from when they're not aware of the other person's point of view or positioning, and that causes a tremendous amount of, stress and strife. Yeah.
So you don't really need the other person's chart in order to tell if somebody's compatible with the person they're with, or do you?
Uh, Well, I mean, the more information I have, in fact, as far as detail goes, I do, if I can get family information, like, for instance, mother's, accurate birth information, father's birth, the more information, the better for me. I mean, ideally, depending on the time, I could, literally do that. But no, you don't. But, what I generally do with a client, if they don't have, absolute, they're going to know their husband's, they're going to have their husband's birth date and, of course, the year he's born. And so I would just take that and I would overlay that on their chart, as far as that goes. So I would put the person I'm looking in front of, I'll put their chart in the middle, and then what I would do is I'd put the other person's chart on the outside and see how they can, in fact, relate to each other. But, I've seen square marriages. I have a sextile marriage, and really what it is, sextiles, it's pretty easy. It is an easy aspect, as far as with a lot of different things. But we do have, various squares within it, which gives us the foundation. But, we've been married for over 35 years, as far as with, and we've been very, very successful raising six children, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, that's great.
And, yeah, we've been able to weather all the storms and what have you. But initially it would refer to as a sextile, which we have a nice combination of easy and hard aspect to, I guess, make us realize and look at other people, look at our other selves, to know that they're there.
That is really cool. That's really cool. You know, I heard of someone who... they married somebody who had a child, and they adopted the child. And then they had their chart done. And that child was in their chart. Have you ever had an experience with adoption like that?
Oh, I've actually had one better than that. And actually, it's really personal. My wife, when I married her in 80, she had four children and we added two more, but my stepdaughter, I saw her and her husband, and this is really a weird thing that happened. And I did her chart and I go, Rhonda, I go, you're pregnant. And she goes, no, I'm not. I go, yes, you are. I said, in fact, I think there's a high probability that you have twins in there. And I'm sitting in there with her and her husband. Now, this is kind of the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And there's, oh, no, I'm not. I said, yeah. So anyways, I guess the end of the rest of the story is that, I was right. And I was right and I was wrong. She was pregnant. And I said, there's two boys. I said, this is what I'm seeing in you guys' chart. There's two boys, and she was pregnant, and she did have a boy. And as it turned out, that her husband was had an affair, and actually had gotten the woman pregnant. So actually, there were two boys.
No
and
way.
I've done that. Yeah, adoptions and things like that. Yeah, I can see that. As far as that, but that was one of the more bizarre. I've had the strangest experience as far as some of this stuff, as far as being able to see things that people would just not know. I think that was pretty good. I guess somebody could say, well, you didn't, you were wrong about the two boys, but I was looking at both of them. I was looking at both of their charts, and I could see two boys. Okay,
to me, that's it. You nailed it.
So anyways, consequently, that I didn't go a little further. They ended up divorced, but
I guess so.
So
that's about, now we're talking about birth. What about death?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can. I try to avoid it. Really what I want to do with my clients is tell them I'm going to give them the lucky lottery winners. If they're not in a relationship, I'm telling them that they're going to meet Mr. Right, Mr. Fan. I mean, that's my first inclination. I mean, all they want to do is give nothing but good news. But, obviously we live holistically. And unfortunately, another prediction I have is I'm very good at death. I'm very good at car wrecks. I haven't been able to get anybody the lottery numbers, but that's kind of a stretch. In fact, I had a client come in, and she told me, she says, I want you to tell me everything that you see in the chart. I go, I said, does that include deaths and things like that? And she says, oh yeah, absolutely, just everything. And I said, okay, great. So I noticed that she had by progression, she had a solar eclipse, and that's another aspect that by progression it was landing right on her sun. And I looked at that in the place of her chart, and it was in her place of the father. And I go to her and I go, okay, this is what I'm seeing here. I said, and I'm a little nervous. I said, but, I would really like to know, have you talked to your father in the last week or so? And she says, yeah. I said, how's his health? And she said, it's perfect. She's in really great shape, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, I'm really nervous about this. I said, this is a signature that I've been able to pick up as a death signature. She goes, oh, no way. Anyways, so what had happened was, and I gave her within a time frame too. I said, this is what it's telling me. I said, within a month, it looks like he's going to have some serious health issues, and I think he's going to pass. And it was kind of this really kind of eerie feeling between me and my client. And then it turned out her father died of a massive heart attack within 3 weeks. And you know what? She never came back to me. I lost a client for life, and I'm thinking, So I've had a lot, including family. I was able to predict my own mother's death within a month. I predicted my nephew's suicide with my sister. I had my sister and her husband up at our place, and we were living at Park City at the time. And I have a habit of, my family comes to me and I do their charts and I look at and kind of do their forecasting. And I go, listen, I said, Josh, you need to watch him. I said, this is not good. I said, and he was an older kid, not living with her. And unfortunately, yeah, he did. He took his own life. And I told her the year before that was probably going to happen. I can see a beginning on people's lives, and I can also see the end. And the most proficient astrologers of all time have been able to predict their own death. And I guess the real difference between a good and bad astrologer is whether the astrologer can predict their own death. But yeah, I can. I prefer not to, but. It just depends. If somebody, my credo is, if somebody asks me a specific question, I don't play any games, and because of who I am and what I do, and I don't want to get in the way of my channel as far as with this information, and which is a combination of not only my own experience and my crazy childhood, all this stuff. I mean, just the whole combination. I don't want to get in the way of it in any way, shape, or form because it's a gift, and you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, and you don't get in the way with this kind of energy I have. So I just simply tell them if they want to know. If I get asked a specific question, I give them a specific answer. Sometimes it's not what they like to hear. So anyways, but it's some interesting stuff.
So you've never looked into, you don't know when you're going to die, right?
Yeah, I do. I do know when I'm going to die. I do. I'm going to live to 84, and I'm going to pass. That's when I'm going to go. But I'm okay with that.
Where does free will come in? Because I know with psychic readings, they always say, well, this is what I see, but there's always free will. So it doesn't sound like free will.
There is and there isn't. And listen, this is a dilemma that I have to deal with right now because I'm working with issues like, for instance, what's very popular is the secret. And they, of course, talk about what they can manifest. But what they don't talk about is that it's very, very apparent that we, you know, that we have a day to be born and we have a day to leave in this existence. Okay, so in between that, now that doesn't mean that, like for instance, my quality of life. That doesn't mean that it gives you a license. If you know the day you're going to die, it doesn't give you a license to go out and drink yourself silly every night or do any of that stuff. I think the choice comes in it. What the choice does come in is that it has to do with the quality of life that you're going to have. It's really a tricky place. It's a tricky thing to do and how to influence your destiny. But my contention is that you have no possible chance of influencing your destiny unless you're consciously aware of it. And I believe that you can improve the quality of your life and you can influence your destiny. So if I sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, I am, because I'm just like everyone else, because right. I'm looking at this thing, I'm saying, oh, okay, well, you know, listen. I sent you a picture of me and my marathon. I ran a marathon, okay, and this is a great story. This is a great lead-in, tag-in. I ran a marathon, it was about 15 years ago or so, and I completed it. It was very, et cetera, et cetera. And so everyone says, well, listen, and then after that I stopped and I gained a bunch of weight. And they said, well, everyone says, well, just put it on your refrigerator, and you'll magically, you know, lose weight. Well, no, that didn't work. and I think one of the problems with the law of attraction is that there's a little thing called action in the law of attraction. You got to do something.
True.
right. So,
right, we can't
so,
think
yeah,
the weight
I,
off, right?
Right. I wasn't able to picture the way out. But had I actually done something a little bit more things, and I work with my clients with this, because it's really important that we're able to help people, you know, be at their most optimum. And again, I tell them, if you don't like something, don't like a picture yourself, change the picture, but it takes discipline. And you have
right.
to, you know, as far as that, rather than just kind of glancing as I'm reaching over making myself a ham sandwich in the refrigerator, I should have taken that picture and said, don't eat the ham sandwich.
Right.
But
right.
I missed
right.
that. Okay, yeah. So,
oh,
anyway,
gosh.
So,
it is. It's hard to break those habits because eating can be an addiction. Right now, everybody is concerned about the world and the evil that is uprising in this world. What is going on, and what can we look forward to?
Oh yeah, listen. There's I guess a survey done. 65% really are feeling this type thing. So it is . And you know, it's almost you have to listen to that, because you listen, the animals and the animals know when there's a fire in the forest. I mean, they know way ahead of time. So, and of course, we've seen that. What's going on is that we're in a cyclic period of war, and there's all kinds of, there's psychic warfare, there's physical warfare, there's monetary warfare. And we are getting all of it, and it is happening, and the world is in a post-traumatic stress. I mean, we just are. We're bombarded with all this stuff, and it is difficult. They say that we get 50,000 messages a day, and so if you're watching TV, it may be 100,000, of which most of them are negative. They're negative imprints. So, there's just distress. I've kind of looked at March. We're going to see some major event that's going to happen, that's going to affect everything. And so so that's on the horizon. But that does not give anyone a license to run in a hole and hide either, too. And this world, it's not going to come to an end. But through our whole history of the world, we've had these various times of war, and we've had these times of peace, and it's just all part of it. It really comes down to everyone being able to, become as centered as possible, and to be able to look at things objectively that's occurring, and to be able to adapt and, of course, prevail. But I'm seeing some stuff there. And if by chance we get through March, which I don't think we will, but and I deal in probabilities. I mean, right now I'm looking at this Mars Uranus transit, and I've done a lot of consulting for market participants, and of course myself, I've traded just about everything. So I've looked at these correlations, but I've seen various aspects that are somewhat disturbing and that are actually in a major conflict type thing that was going to occur. This is based on 85% probability. I think there's a huge chance and that this is going to occur. And if by chance we don't, then we have August that we'd have to get through as far as that. So
are you talking about on U.S. soil or just in the world in general?
World in general, U.S. soil. I mean, I think it's going to be the economic stuff is going to hit us. I mean, we're right now everything's according to everybody in political power in Wall Street, everything's just hunky dory. It's just perfect.
What's the stock market going to do?
We're going to see a top in March. I think we're going to see a top. Coming up, we're going to see additional movement up coming through here. So I think for a month or two, I think everyone's okay. But I think this is probably a good chance for a lot of people to start allocating into cash. And I don't, and actually they'll make money on the cash simply because the dollar looks like it's going to, it's still the bastion of safety, which is so peculiar and anti-intuitive because we have $18 trillion worth of debt, but we're the lesser of all evils, and so I've been watching the dollar just appreciate like crazy, and I think that's going to continue, and that also is a interesting sign that people around the world are saying that they need to get their money into dollars because out of some impending type thing. So, anyways, that's it. But makes our life interesting, I guess. As far as that, maybe some we live in interesting times. Yeah. So
it is. It is a very unpredictable. Well, I guess life is always unpredictable. But we're coming down to nearly the end, and I know you've got a book coming out, and the movie. Maybe you can update us on those things.
Yeah. I feel like Odysseus in the Odyssey. As far as with the movie goes, it's still going. We've had several, our budget, of course, uses $40 million. Had several brushes with some really interesting parties, and for one reason or not, it will come out. My chart says it's going to come out in 2016. So, but we're just working towards that. The book is completed. I'm just going through the edit phase as far as that. It'll be out next February. It's called Giant Rock. And so that's what's going on with that. I think they're going to – it's probably one of the more – we call it the greatest UFO story never told for a reason because it's such a bizarre tale. And hopefully when people read it, because I have a character named Chase in there, that's actually kind of me, and it's kind of good. They'll get a glimpse of me when they read it, and they'll say, "Oh, guys, this guy's crazy." And I say, "Yeah, I am."
That's February 16, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, February 16th. Yeah, it'll be out.
Okay,
and it should
cool.
be on Kindle.
Well, I definitely want a copy of that book.
You'll get one.
And we will we'll talk when that comes on. Can you? I know that astrology is a business for you. So, how much do you charge to do a chart?
What I do is it's $100. And I like to do things this way. I mean, it's $100 to set it up, and then we go from there. Then it's $100 initially. I set it up, and we sit down for an hour or two, and we go over all the details. I would prefer to see somebody an additional three times within 30 days. So whatever I'm doing however I'm counseling them And that's $50 a session, as far as that. So totally.
The follow-up is $50, right?
Yeah, the follow-up is $50. So it's really affordable, and I think it's worthwhile. But again, it's all business, and I want to help people get to where they want to be, and I want to do everything I can, pull all the stops, give them all the, a lot of my tools. Listen, I've been very successful in my life. I mean, I've done things that very few people have been able to do. And, I have a track record of this, so I know this. I bring a little different thing, a little bit added value, as far as this. I'm not just a pure psychic or a pure metaphysician. I mean, literally, I've ran oil and gas companies. I've done stuff. And so I bring that real world part experience also. So anyways, I like to help people. And
okay, that's awesome. Now, how do people reach you if they want to get the chart read?
Yeah, just email chad@giantrockthemovie.com. And, email me, or that'd be the best way. Yeah, my website is www.giantrockthemovie.com. And
GiantRockTheMovie.com, right?
Yeah, GiantRockTheMovie.com.
Okay.
And then Facebook, Giant Rock the Movie Facebook, and Twitter, Chad C. Meek. So that's, they can get those things. Perfect, they can get a hold of me or call you.
Well, I have the link on your show page, so if anybody forgets
great.
What you said, it's right there. But I always like for my guests to say it because it feels
absolutely.
Good to be able to say that's my website.
okay,
but cool. Anyway, we are really coming to a close, unfortunately. But it's been really great. I know that I learned a whole lot about this today. I have had my chart done. It's been many years, and maybe I'll contact you about getting it done again. But now I know
fantastic.
A lot more. It's a lot more interesting. So I thank you for coming back on, and good luck with the movie and the book.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. And listen, I love your energy. It's just really nice. To be, I just love your energy, and I could do this every day with you as far as that, but it'd be kind of boring for thing. But yeah, I know you're great. You're great.
Thank
really
you, Chad. Thank
right.
you. Thank you. I enjoy
okay.
it. I do. All right. So you take care. I'll be back in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. So we are out of time today. But if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always spelled RANDIGFINE, like fine, I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows. You can leave comments for me there as well. I've mentioned this before, but I want to tell you about the counseling that I'm doing on clarity.com. I am doing life issues counseling, and you can find out more about that by going to clarity.fm/randy-g-fine. That is clarity.fm/randy, RANDI-g-fine. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. And when you become a follower, you'll get notification of all the great shows I have coming up. You just have to check these pages because I've got amazing, amazing guests who have contacted me who want to be on this show. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the there's a better way.